Hey, y'all, in this episode of the Carolina Chucks podcast, we're going to talk to the folks from the Fort Drum Rodeo and Equestrian Club. Y'all check them out. Be good. Peace out. It was crazy. Yeah, it was crazy. Anyways, let's go around the room and introduce ourselves. We'll start with you.
All right, my name is Baron Wester, and I'm born and raised in Georgia. I'm a Records, Tennessee now, and still active duty in the Army, so here I am in New York.
Yeah, buddy. There's not many Southern people up here. I try to friend everyone I can find. And I met you. Well, no, I've talked to you several times, but I finally get to meet you. So pull that mic to you just a little bit.
So I'm Amber Roberts, born and raised in Wisconsin. I'm an Army veteran, and I am one of the co-founders of the club.
Nice. And we got to get the guy over here in the black here.
I'm Earl McFarlane. I'm from Arkansas, and I'm active duty right now.
Really?
Yeah.
What part of Arkansas?
Up in Northeast Arkansas.
I don't know nothing about Arkansas. But no, my grandma was from somewhere over there in Arkansas, but she ended up in South Carolina, married a Navy guy. Then my mom was born in Oregon, which was raised in South Carolina. I'm from South Carolina, but, you know, I guess I got some Navy in my blood because he passed away real young. My grandpa did, so I never really got to meet him. But so you guys are it's the Fort Drum Rodeo and Equestrian Club, correct?
That's right.
And how long has this been going on? And you're the founder, right?
So we founded the club last August.
Yeah.
So this is genuinely the first year that it's going.
Yeah.
So it's very new.
So and where's Keith at? I thought he was going to come.
He is very active in pursuing his bull riding career.
Yeah? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I see him all over Facebook now.
Yeah, he's doing good things, and hopefully he'll get to join us again soon when that kind of plateaus out.
All right, good. So tell me about your club a little bit.
So our focus is more Western performance type events. But I think for people not involved in horses, equestrian is a word they understand.
Yeah.
But it's rodeo, so your traditional bull riding, bareback riding, roping barrels, along with cutting and rein cow horse. So those are very Western, ranchy oriented.
What's cutting?
That's where you would ride your horse into a herd of cattle.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to cut one out.
Oh.
You're mimicking like the trail boss.
Right.
Getting
the
sick cow out. And then you have turn back who try to push that cow back to the herd. And you demonstrate your horse's ability to play defense. It mimics one of the cowboys trying to rope that cow to doctor it.
Right. Oh, that's pretty. I mean, that's the most relevant one I got, right?
Yeah, definitely.
It is pretty. It can get pretty ranchy out there.
Yeah.
Well,
that's cool. So, how much? So, did you put on an event over the summer? Was it?
We did. So, we did do a bull riding school in the spring. It was a Captain Aaron Blanchard Memorial Bull Riding School.
Yep.
And then we did our How to Be a Cowboy series, which Earl and Baron were participants.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what that was a five-event series teaching them about how to do ranch-specific type skills. So roping, riding, working cattle, doctoring cattle.
Moving a herd.
Yeah.
Getting a herd to stop.
Man, that's awesome. I grew up on, there's a, what was it called? The Brown Rodeo down in South Carolina. You know where Gaffney is?
I'm not real familiar with that.
Yeah, it's on the way to Charlotte, off of 85. But they used to have a rodeo down there. We'd go every once in a while check it out. I mean, I was always fascinated with it, but a little terrified.
Well, you know, that's the fascinating thing. So a lot of people automatically associate cowboys with Texas. But the thing is like, you know, I grew up in Georgia and spent a long time in Tennessee and a lot of time in Florida. They're like, rodeo is popular just about everywhere I've been. There's rodeos. And I was stationed in Washington State. There's big rodeos out there.
Really?
So it's like, I don't know. I think that rodeo is kind of that really sort of a classic American sport.
Yeah.
That is really ubiquitous. I mean, it's all over the country.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Because there's a lot of agriculture everywhere. And then you kind of, where you find agriculture, you're going to find cows and horses, right. And then you're going to find people that's going to do something with them, you know?
Absolutely. Well, and that's the thing that I love is that, you know, I've always loved cowboy stuff, you know?
Yeah, heck
and,
yeah.
But everywhere you go, there's cowboys. Everywhere I've been in America, mm-hmm. I've been a lot of places in America, there's cowboys. You can find cowboys. They're there, you know? And I think that, you know, there's a small group of people that are not really involved in the culture at all, and they only associate it with like the West.
Right.
As soon as you start getting involved at all in horse culture or rodeo or any of that stuff, all of a sudden you start realizing, wait a second, there's cowboys in New York.
Hey, look,
there are cowboys in New York.
I work at a car dealership selling cars, and I was talking to this guy on the lot. He sounded like a Canadian to me. And he tried to trade me some cows for a truck, and like he was serious.
Right.
And then obviously that didn't work out. And I saw him at Walmart. And I'm like, I'm looking at him, you know. When you see somebody you recognize, you talk to him a little bit, and I'm talking to him, and then I walk away. I'm like, who the heck was that? And then I'm like, oh, that was that guy. He tried to trade me some cows. But yeah, back home, there's a lot of. A lot of cowboy stuff. I met some people in school that was doing some rodeo stuff, and this was South Carolina, and then, you know, there's a lot of horse racing stuff. I don't know what that's associated with. I got into that a little bit on FanDuel because my daughter was into horses big, and I was like, well, here's a thing we can do, and I put a little money on it and watch the horse races, which is, I know it's different, but still horse stuff.
Horses have a really unique ability, and, you know, they're very charismatic to people. You know, they have that presence to them that people are just drawn to them.
I don't know much about horses, but to me, they've always seems like a big dog. Does that make sense? Like a friendly. You know what I mean? Well, like the dog mentality.
Definitely have personalities.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm saying. Like a dog was.
Well, and the amazing thing too about horses, they're very emotional. They are emotional creatures. And one of the, so they kind of are. I mean, they're very friendly, and you can establish a relationship with them. Very similar.
They have personalities, right?
But one of the key differences is dogs are predators.
Mm.
But horses are prey animals, and so because horses are prey animals, you can tell. I mean, their eyes are on the side of their head. They can see. Very, very attuned to what's going on in the environment, and they're very attuned to the rest of the herd, and which also means that they're very sensitive to emotions, right? And so one of the cool things about horses is they can read your emotions. You can't lie to a horse about what you're feeling. And so working with the horse is what you learn very quickly is you have to be absolutely, totally honest with the horse because it's not going to let you lie, which is kind of cool.
So how long ago did you start? When did you get into rodeo and horses? And
well,
stuff?
That's a hard question to answer. Yes. Years ago, when my wife and I first got married, over 25 years ago now, early on, we rode horses very frequently, but it was a very different kind of riding. We rode polo horses. There's a guy that we knew in Atlanta. We didn't really know him. My wife, when she was a teenager, she just knocked on his door and said, "Can I ride your horses?" And he said, "Yeah, sure. Go talk to the stable hand." But he played polo, and so he had all these polo ponies.
Really?
And on the days of the week where they weren't either practicing or having a match, he exercised them. So 3 days a week, we would go out, and it was, you know, English style riding. You would get one of the horses, and you would run it around a track. 8 laps, and then you would go get another horse, and you run around the track 8 laps, and so it wasn't like cowboy style riding at all. Then off and on, every chance I would get some trail riding or whatever. But then when I heard Amber talking about the mention of the rodeo club and how to be a cowboy series, and I started looking at it, and was like, hey, come out and learn how to rope and learn how to move a herd and learn how to work with cows, and I was like, now that sounds fun. It's not just, riding around in a circle is fun, but it's totally different when you get to get on a horse and you have a job to do.
Right.
And you're working
right.
as a team with the horse. And so really it was just this summer with the first How to Be a Cowboy weekend,
yeah,
where that was the first chance I got to actually get on a horse and actually start learning how to do something together with the horse. You know,
so you got hooked just then.
I did. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
And he did phenomenal. So he won that buckle at his capstone event. So I took him to a horse show, and that I'm a board member on one of the horse clubs, and we made him go show, and he had to work a cow, and he did ranch riding where he had to show the judge basically what they're judging on is that the horse I would want to cover ground with on a ranch and ride? Mm-hmm. So he had to show that that horse was pleasurable to ride. Yeah. He was smooth to ride. So he won both classes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang, dude.
I'm hooked now. It was so much fun. It's a blast.
Yeah. Goodness gracious. So when did you get your start, Amber?
Like, probably in the photo album, probably like 4 or 5.
Yeah?
Yeah. So my whole life.
So you grew up on a ranch or something or near one?
Yep. So my parents bred horses. My dad trained horses. So all through middle school, high school, I was a little dummy up there, you know, as he's trotting around. And then throughout my whole military career, I PCS'd with my horses everywhere.
Really?
Except for Germany. And then on deployments. So I'd haul my horse back to Wisconsin. And I used to tell my soldiers, my horse has more PCS moves than you do.
Wow.
No, pretty much my whole entire life, and I've done a little bit of everything. I rode English, went over fences. We bred all-around horses, so I'd show Western and English on the same day. And then I was stationed in Savannah, Georgia. I was driving back from Wisconsin. I was outside of Augusta, Georgia. There was a horse trailer broke down and pulled over, helped him change a tire. He had cutting horses. And he was on his way to a cutting, and he said, "What are you doing this weekend?" And I said, "Nothing." He goes, "Hey, come up this weekend, ride the horse around a little bit. I'll let you go ride this cutting horse." So, I went, rode this horse for 20 minutes and went and showed it on cows. And I read the rule book, and so it was funny. But, like, when I mean, everybody from base that was in my unit showed up to this cutting. So they had coolers. They had, like, those big, ridiculous signs. So, like, I had this whole cheering. It was off the chain.
Yeah.
And so I came out and marked a 60. And this girl goes, "Why are you so happy? Like, that's the lowest you can score." And I said, "Well, no, the lowest you can score is a 0, a no score." Mm-hmm. I said, "So, you know." And what it is, you know, after a 60, they don't score it lower. And then if you get disqualified, you get a 0. But I was hooked. I mean, this horse went left, right. I almost fell off. Like, it was bucking across the pen, and I stayed on because my spur was in the side of it. It was a train wreck, but feeling that horse fiend, mm-hmm. like that cow, was just, it was done.
Yeah.
I ain't looked back.
Wow. So what exactly is English? And I'm picturing a fancy horse or something. Is that what that is?
Well, they have all series. Like, those breeds for the English, you know, they have trail horses. They have the hunter jumper horses. They have the dressage horses. So they can go from a backyard horse all the way up to, you know, something pretty bougie. But English, you know, it's more the old style. You don't have the horn. And it's more traditional with, like, the hunter type stuff. And so hunter is, like, fox hunting, that type of thing.
Wow.
Where when you're going over jumps, you don't want a horn. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the English saddle, it's a lot smaller than a Western saddle. It's just this little tiny, tiny thing.
That, oh, my goodness.
You know, and so, and your feet are a little different position. So it's not like a Western saddle. It's, you know.
How about you?
So I got started.
Pull that over to you just a little bit.
I got started right after the first How to Be a Cowboy event. Because I was on block leave at the time.
Yep.
And I was looking into doing rodeo and stuff, and I'd actually put on Reddit, you know, I'm stationed up in Fort Drum.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere I can do a clinic or anything like that? Somebody said, "Well, there's this place right up the road." They did a clinic. They do, like, cow horse stuff like that. So I'll go check it out, and every chance I get, I go up there and do what I can. And
I got to check out Reddit because I don't do nothing with that. But, yeah, so you're from Arkansas. You joined the military right away?
Yeah, pretty much. I actually didn't finish high school. I dropped out my last year.
Hell yeah.
Got my GED and signed up at 17. As soon as I turned 18, I went to basic training.
Wow. Yeah, man. I came up here. ROTC happened, or not ROTC, 9/11 happened when I was in 10th grade. So 11th grade, I jumped on the ROTC. I was like, yeah, here we go. And then 12th grade, man, them women drove me crazy. And by the time I getting ready to graduate, I had my girlfriend pregnant and just went to work. And I don't know, went down a whole different way. But, no, that's cool, man. So you didn't do the clinic then. So you just went.
No, I didn't do the bull riding clinic, but I've been doing the ranch horse stuff.
Yeah.
Working cattle, everything. Which I worked cattle back home, but I'd never rode a horse before.
Yeah.
So that was a whole new experience.
Wow. Oh, I don't think I ever rode a horse either.
I got to brag on Earl though. Like, so he started off the summer never having ridden a horse.
Yeah.
And I missed the last weekend because I had to work, but. Mm-hmm. Then next thing you know, I see a video of Earl on a horse, like running after a roping calf, yeah. Like swinging and just nailed that thing, you know? Wow. So it's just, I think it's awesome natural. Going from
wow,
first time on a horse to actually throwing a lasso off a running horse. That was cool.
Yeah. Whenever I first started, I couldn't tell the horse where to go. I mean, I didn't know anything.
Yeah, so how long do you think it took you to till you got kind of comfortable trotting on it?
I mean, I'm still not really, but I do it.
Yeah.
I think you ride comfortable.
I ride comfortable. Yeah, you're comfortable. But sometimes I'll overthink it, you know, obviously. And
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I watched my daughter. We took her before we came up here. I watched her learn to ride, and she did it not quick, but we'd go to, they had a little weekend thing where you'd come and watch them go around the circle and step up on a little platform, and you know, she was driving the horse, you know what I mean? It's kind of neat, and I was proud of her. But no, I ain't never done it, and I always wanted to, man. I've grew up on Westerns, you know. My mom used to call me, my nickname was the Duke or whatever, you know, John Wayne. Yeah. I don't know, man.
Well, I got to tell you, there's this really neat club.
Yeah, that's right here in the community. I've been invited out there several times. Yeah.
We have some really incredible individuals who have provided really great horses.
Yeah.
And so they've been put on horses who are competing nationally on cattle, like out there winning. So the club that I'm with, the Northeast Ranch Horse Association, a lot of the women out there, they've trucked their horses in. We got Caroline. She's a barrel racer background. She's up in Camden. She's brought her horses down and helped. And so that is a really huge thing, just to put out there that people need to invest, just like a vehicle, invest mm-hmm. in the best horse that you can ride. And so these horses are helping them do the job. They know the job. They're subject matter experts. And so we put them on really good horses. And when they do the right input of instructing these horses where to go, the horses are getting there. But in an environment, if you set yourself up with the best equipment,
mm-hmm.
you're going to become a better competitor or a better horseman. And so our How to Be a Cowboy series is about horsemanship and being really good riders and doing that job. And so, you know, we're just really lucky that they have really good horses to go out there and ride. So they're learning everything correctly
mm-hmm.
and what right feels like. And so the bar for them as they pursue their horsemanship careers, if they continue on or not, it is really at a top tier level.
That's awesome.
Which is safe for them. And it makes it fun, you know, that they can go out and do these things and build confidence, right? So riding a really good horse, doing the job, provides the confidence for these guys to be really good.
That's awesome.
And it spoils us a little bit. You know, next time we go somewhere and pay $30 for a trail ride, we're going to be on the, like, what's wrong with this horse?
Well, I'll tell you what, too, how fast Amber actually had me learning.
Yeah.
First time I was there, like I said, I couldn't hardly steer the horse.
Right.
I think it was the second or third time I got there, she had me running on one.
What?
I was like, this is interesting because I was trying not to fall off.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's like if you were to ride on somebody's back, you know, it's moves with the horse. Their shoulders are moving. You're moving. And it was just a wild experience. I'm like, I don't know how to steer this. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing, but we're running.
Yeah, that's awesome, bro. I've always, like, imagined what that would be like. Oh,
man. Come out and join us.
I know. So you said you have some stuff going on. You're trying to do some stuff this winter.
Yeah. So we're going to try to do a ski drawing.
And I don't know what the heck that was. You asked me, and I was like, what does that mean?
So the things we're trying to do with our club is to get the community involved, right? So we're coming up with events that if you don't have access to a horse, you can still participate, mm-hmm. right, and continue to do things. So what ski drawing is, in the Western modified piece of it, is you will tow a skier or a snowboarder behind the horse and take them over a series of jumps. And as you know, the 10th Mountain Division is alpine. It's got a skiing tradition. So we feel like this is a really good opportunity. And so what our goal is we're working with some people who put them on in Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine has, like, they do a championship one, is to try to get some of their people to come down twice this winter and do, like, an introductory where some people, like, we're going to have to recruit some skiers and snowboarders.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get the horses together and build a group, and then hopefully next year we might be able to host an actual competition.
So basically, you're gonna have a horse pulling a, and y'all are gonna
pulling
be
a hit. Skier on the snow.
Wow, that's right. That's gotta be awesome.
Adrenaline.
Yeah, I've never snowboarded nor skied, and nor rode a horse. Man, what am I doing with myself?
So you come out to the ski touring.
Yeah, I just get it all in one, yeah, you know? So you said you got some goat roping going on. Now that sounds like my cup of tea.
Yeah, so it's going to be a goat rodeo,
mm-hmm.
Is the idea. And we tested it with these guys. So basically, what are your traditional rodeo events? Team roping. So there's mm-hmm. goat roping, which is actually picked up in the Western world at fairs and stuff. They'll have a goat roping, which is a team roper. You have the header and the heeler. We're going to do goat tying. So high school rodeo offers a girls goat tying where you ride the horse down, dismount, and you can tie the goat. And the high school rodeo, just by the way, is a really awesome association. They give college scholarships out all the time for their deals. So we're going to modify that so where the people do it on the feet, and you'll just run down, and then you got to tie the goat, which would mimic cattle on the ranch. You have mm-hmm. to tie it to doctor it. So Earl and Baron spent a couple times this summer working goats and practicing. And then we're going to have a goat sorting where it'll be in a small pen. There'll be like 10 goats. They're all going to be numbered, mm-hmm. and it'll be like a family activity. And as they cross over the timeline, you give them a number. And say you say 5. So they have to go get goat 5, bring it over the line, then 6, then 7, then 8, then 9, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. And it's timed. So that's what we're looking at doing. So it would be something that people in the community who maybe have an attraction to the Western way of life, mm-hmm. but don't have access to horses, but want to be around that, or ranching, any of that type of thing. We really think this is an activity that they'll be able to participate in and have some fun and learn. And obviously, hopefully, we hope they take it serious and maybe pursue a rodeo or how to be a cowboy series. But, you know, maybe it's just a weekend where they get to spend time with the family and try a new activity.
Yeah, that'd be nice to have something else like that going on. And I guess along with that same subject, I have found that the people in the North Country love country music. Right. So, I mean, this could kind of go along with that,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I had a guy on the show. He is, his name's Stephen Cowley. Just a couple of weeks ago, he comes from a little small town and close to the other side of Syracuse or something. And that's what he said. There's more cows in my town than people. And he goes, I didn't know that being from New York was a thing. Because when I came up here, I was like, dude, I didn't know that there was anything in New York but the city, you know. And I was like, it's vast up here. Then everybody likes country music and all this. I'm like, man, this is kind of like back home, you know, but they just talk like Canadians, you know. But I don't know, man. I think you might have a good opportunity if we get it out there and people are interested in that kind of thing, you know. I mean, I went to a couple of concerts around here. They got plenty of cowboy boots for walking around, just saying.
And it would be an activity for anybody of any age. Yeah. So whether it's the children or the parent. But I think with our military community and first responders having wholesome family activity that they can do together and enjoy for those times when they are off work. So that's something really key about our club is we're looking for things that are the preventative maintenance or things for people to do so they have something else in their life. So, you know, we're law enforcement, we're military, we're veterans, we're first responders, and we're open to their family members. Mm-hmm. So maybe somebody does have a horse-crazed daughter and they're a law enforcement officer. Their daughter can participate. The law enforcement officer doesn't have to be the participant. But the idea is bringing those people who have those high-stress type jobs and having a good family activity. And what's neat about these type of events, it does have that adrenaline. Most people that do those professions,
they
like that. They're particular. They like to train. Mm-hmm. And it definitely goes in key with that. But that's the goal of our club, is to really be a family-oriented organization and providing good, wholesome activities for people that promote the Western way of life.
Nice. There is another group that I had a guy in here from. It's the Wounded Warriors Outdoor Adventure. And maybe I'll get you hooked up with him and see what kind of networking y'all can do to put something. They do mud runs and stuff like that. But I think they're kind of from all over the New York area. So I think maybe there's something there.
Well, we recently had a young man, Cody, start to get involved with us. But he's one of the board members in an outdoor organization that takes military and veterans hunting. And so
that's what they do. They fix up different kind of handicaps and stuff. And
Earl just went. He got to do one of their duck hunts, actually.
Really? Nice. That was a lot of fun. But who was that with?
What's that organization's name?
I can't put me on the spot. Yeah. It's the Outdoor Rec. I'll have to look at it. But it's pretty phenomenal. But Cody, and definitely if like we want to hashtag them in on when you post stuff, definitely. So I'd have to look it up. I'm really bad with that in memory names and regurgitating them. But there's this is what's really cool as you start getting into things. I think when people are really serious about providing opportunities and combating the different stereotypes that are within, right, the law enforcement, military, you know, the hero type professions,
right,
they network very well together. So like we recently started working with Before the Last Call out of Rochester. It's an equine therapy program. So our club, we're open to anybody. You don't have to be here for therapy. You don't have to have an issue. You don't have to be wounded, disabled. We're just a group of people here providing each other and mentorship in our sport.
Yeah.
I call it barn therapy because it is my other passion in life. But it's really neat to see all the different organizations network and help each other. And I think that is just what's in the DNA of silent professionals or people in these careers with selflessness, you know, it's all about networking and helping everybody. Yeah.
So. Did you say that barn therapy?
Yeah. For me,
That's a good time. Because that's the other thing that's fascinating about the rodeo club is that, you know, part of it is the getting a chance to ride horses and learn cowboy skills. You know, I mean, it's pretty cool when you realize, you know, I can chase a cow down on a horse and rope it if I have to. I mean, that's just kind of cool to know you can do that, you know? but the other side of it is a lot of us that are involved in the club, you know, a lot of weekends, even when there's nothing going on, we'll go out there just to work, you know, just to put up a fence or, you know, cut some weeds down or burn a brush pile or, you know, just to have a place to go outside and do something.
And like me, like I can't, it's hard for me to just sit around and do nothing. Like I got to do something productive with rodeo and like ranching or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. There's always something to be done. And that gives people purpose and you know what I mean? And keeps you going. Cause I get what you're saying. It gives you something to do for sure. Right. and to feel like you're constantly achieving something productive, because it's hard to just sit around and do nothing, you know. It freaks me out. Like, I watch a football game, but I've got to gamble on it. You know?
Well, you know, and that's the other thing, is there's always something to do out there. There's always something that needs doing.
Mm-hmm.
But then a lot of times, it's the kind of thing that you can do it and you can see what you've done. Like, we just put that fence there, or we just fixed that gate.
Yeah,
and you can,
absolutely.
You know, it's something that you can point at and it's tangible, you know. And then you come back the next day and something else is broken and you get a chance to work on something else, you know.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah. I did a lot of construction before I came up here, and I get what you're saying. When you working on a project and at the end of the day it's done, you're like, it's a good feeling.
Yeah.
And I
think the other big part about it too is just the fellowship. What I call it, the fellowship of the fire, because especially over the summer when we'd have weekends, you know, at the end of the day, there's always a campfire and we're grilling steaks or doing something, and it's just sitting around talking at the end of the day.
Yeah, and that means a lot is the fellowship, because now I made friends when I came up here, but like I was saying, I was in construction. I feel like I'm almost missing out on the fellowship part of it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm in car sales right now, so I don't really have the same, at the end of the workday, fellowship that I had down there. And I think about that. I'm like, man, that fellowship is important. You know what I mean? Because I made friends, but I don't know about the fellowship part of it. You know what I mean?
Because
we're all kind of doing our own thing, you know. But I get that, and that's important. That is really important for a man. That's important for a woman. That's important for everybody to have something that there's other people involved.
Right.
It takes care of you mentally and everything. So that's awesome.
I was really fortunate in my military career. And, like, when I got stationed to Georgia, right, I was looking on. I can't remember back in the day what forum it was on. It was probably some equine forum, you know, back when it was the discussion threads. And I met these Ken and Renee Bogdan, and they were out in Dublin, so it was outside Atlanta. So I would drive every weekend from Savannah, Georgia, out there, and they put me up in this little double wide they had, and I rode their horses. I worked their horses when they went to rodeos and did whatever. You know, next thing you know, you're at the table and you're having dinner with them and you're going to church with them.
Yeah.
You know, same thing when I got up here, I kept my horse in training down in Syracuse. Mm-hmm. And every weekend, like, my first sergeant commander knew where I was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, come Friday, like, you could keep me all week. I didn't care if I was working in the office at midnight.
Yeah.
But at 1700 on Friday, and we'd be in formation, you could see me doing the jitter because I was like, it's time to hit the road.
Yeah.
You know, same thing. Started out, I'd sleep in my living quarters trailer down there, and all of a sudden Hoyts invited me into their home. You know, I went to their daughter's graduation. I went to christenings. You know, I'm down there every weekend riding with them. I came back from Afghanistan, went to the horse show, you know, and everybody that I showed with the year before, like, had a cake. They, like, threw a party with me getting back. And so that type of community, I think it's really important. And last year, it was just a Facebook chat that people were in that Fort Drum community saying, hey, there's nothing Western. So me and Keith were talking. I had never met Keith before. I jumped in a truck with him and Bo and went to a bull ride in Massachusetts. And, you know, talking, and, like, they had this passion that they wanted to get better in their bull riding careers. And while I spent my 14 years in the Army, I ended up reserve national champion in the cutting. And it was just all these people I met while I was in the service who were really good with cutting horses, and they invested their time and energy in me. And so I looked at them, and I'm not showing right now. I'm a single mom. I can't afford to show at the level I want to show at. And I felt like there was, like, the sixth suicide on drum about the same time last year. And so I just felt like Lord had this calling that, like, maybe we really need to do something and offer something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it's like to be stuck in the barracks. I mean, I lived in the barracks, but I wasn't stuck in the barracks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I knew when I left the Army, I was going to pursue showing horses. So hopefully what this club will do, if there's individuals out there, you know, that are listening to this podcast, like, if you're trying to find that thing, you're stuck at Fort Drum, and you think there's nothing to do, you know, come try it. And if you come out and horses aren't your thing, like, because some people don't like the smell of horse sweat, You might like cows. And maybe we can pair you up with somebody up here. There's a couple nice farms up here. You know, you can learn that. Or, you know, people out west love, there's people that just drive tractors in Kansas for 12 hours a day with corn and a beautiful sunset. You know, maybe it's underwater basket weaving, scuba diving, that veterans outdoor thing. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there for people if they just get out there. But sitting in a barracks room, watching life pass away in it.
Yeah. Holy moly.
Well, and I'm curious. I know you're supposed to be asking the questions, but I'm curious for you, Earl, because you're there. I mean, you work. I mean, to your left and right are people that are living in the barracks, right. And you live in the barracks.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I do.
And so I'm curious. How is it different for you being really plugged in versus other? I mean, I know there's probably got to be people in your hall that are just sitting there playing video games all the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. That they just sit there, they play all day and all night because there's nothing better to do. All right, man, well, come out here. We're riding horses, you know. We're roping. We're chasing cows. It's awesome.
So, what about the bull riding thing? Are y'all still doing that out there?
So we're getting ready. We started. Hank Kellogg and Tim Parm. Our committee for the bull riding school, we're going to do again in April next year. It'll be the second annual Captain Aaron Blanchard Memorial Bull Riding School. And then what we do is these guys will pair up, and then they haul to the rodeos together. They can go to the practice pen together. So we don't really host a whole lot of events. I know our five-year goal is to have a rodeo up here in Fort Drum.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, we're hosting that, and then we're going to try to get a bareback and saddle bronc school in the fall next year together. But, yeah, so we're going to have this past year we had 13 bull riders. I ended up riding a bull that weekend, too, two of them.
How was that?
I'll tell you what, if I was still in my 20s, it would have been all over. We had Cody Custer. He helped form the PBR.
Yeah.
He was the instructor. And when I got off my second bull, because this is what I told him, anybody can ride one bull, right? So right. I said, I have to do two.
Right.
All right. So I came off the second one, which I made 8 seconds. And he's like, you're going to go a third time. And I said, if I get on a third time, I won't stop. And he goes, you like it. But I'm an adrenaline junkie.
Right.
And like, if you see the cow horse sports I do, I mean, you'll understand. So, yeah, and I told him, I was like, I'm a single mom. I'm 42 years old. I got a traumatic brain injury. Like, I don't need to be getting up bulls for a hobby. But it's pretty cool, and it's a healthy sense of fear as you're swinging your leg over one.
Mm.
That's for sure.
Yeah, see, I broke a bone off of my shoulder boxing. So that's why I'm like kind of like, oh, man, my shoulder, I can't sleep on this side. I got screws in it, you know. And I do like that, and I think I would like it too, to be honest with you, because I like kind of – I feel like I kind of thrive under pressure, you know what I mean? Like I was a pitcher and catcher when I was a kid playing baseball. I was out in front. Then they put me in the outfield, and I got a fist fight with a second baseman, and I could, you know, and I was like, you know what? I'm combat sports is my thing. So I started boxing and taekwondo and stuff like that, and – just absolutely terrified and be in front of people. And then as soon as I step in that ring, it goes away. And I've got, like, this amazing, like, experience where I'm, like, in control of my life. It's crazy. Like, I don't know.
It all slows down.
And yeah.
Just in the moment.
Yeah. And I think if I was to do something like that, I'd be in trouble. And I'm pretty sure I'd have to get more surgery on my shoulder.
Well, I'll tell you what, I felt it for a couple of days, but as I was crawling in the chute, so they picked bulls for people's level.
Okay? Yeah, I so need level 0.
Yeah.
0.5.
And so, like, the bull I got on earlier that day, two kids were standing on the back throwing a rope off of it, right? And he just stood there, right? So they know their jobs.
Yeah.
And there's different levels. I wasn't getting on some PBR, you know, world champion bull rider. Goodness. Heck no. But as I was crawling in, and I knew he was a relatively safe, predictable bull. And I mean, in this video, you could see like my whole body was shaking. And when I got in the chute, you could hear my foot tapping off the side of it because I was like totally shaking. And like, I just looked up at Robbie, he was the assistant instructor. And I'm like, I know this is a safe bull, but like, I am petrified. And he's like, no, that's a respect for an animal. He has its own brain.
Yeah.
And like, they can get them to buck harder, like that particular bull. They call him Clammy. We have a video. There was a 9-year-old girl who rode him earlier in the year. We took her down to the practice pen and she got on. And so depending on how tight they do the flank mm-hmm. on him is a different trip. And so like both times I rode him, the first time out, like the first quarter of the pen, he was pretty flat. It was like riding a horse trotting. Well, I rode him longer the second time. So when we cut the corner and I wasn't off yet, then he started really bucking because he's like, lady, I'm supposed to get you on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
As the ride progressed, he got a little bit more aggressive to get me on the ground. Good stock contractors, when you go to a school, they're not going to put you on an animal that's outside your ability. It's just not good business. If you get hurt, you're not going to come back again.
Right.
You know, it's what I was mentioning earlier with the type of horses we have for these guys mm-hmm. riding. They know their job. They're professionals at their job. And they're building confidence in them. So it's the same thing with these schools.
So did he just enough to get you addicted? Yeah.
He did both times I landed. And so this was the other thing. You really need to hold on to the rope and really squeeze and be aggressive. I'm 42 years old. I had a TBI. I'm not going to try to get myself hung up and whatever. So when I felt my weight shift off to the side of him, like I knew I was going. So I released my hand because I don't want to get hung up. I got to go to work. You know what I mean? And make a living. Both times I hit the ground and I had the wind knocked out of me. But, you know, I'm 175 pounds and I fell 3-4 feet right up flat on my back. But it's, I don't know. And there's something about being able to hit the ground. Like, I've ridden horses before. I got bucked off. Believe it or not, the first time I've been bucked off in 20 years happened at the How to Be Cowboy series. I was riding this mule. I thought everybody was still asleep. So I went to work this mule I had this summer. And I'm new to mules. I just wanted to be challenged. And she came around the corner. I had her pick up a lope. I hadn't loped her before. And she, like, planted me right in front of her, like, road rash and all from the sand. Oof. But I don't know. There's something about hitting the ground and learning to pick yourself up, swallow your pride, brush it off, and put your foot back in the stirrup and get back on. I mean, that's just something that these type of events will teach a child or teach an adult about being resilient and gritty.
That sounds like boxing, really, to be honest with you.
So, yeah, so one of the things that I got to do, that I've got a chance to do in the Army, courtesy of all the taxpayers, is they sent me to get a degree in marriage and family therapy.
Oh,
and
wow.
part of that degree, I had to do this big paper, but I did the paper on the relationship between resiliency and adrenaline sports.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And so what I found out is that not all adrenaline sports build resiliency, mm-hmm. but the ones that do all have some things in common. They push you out of your comfort zone. It's got to be something that you're going to fail at. So you're going to fall off. You're going to go over the handlebars. You're going to get punched in the face. Something's going to go wrong. And they have to have a sense of danger. So they have to feel a little bit dangerous. And the fourth thing is they have to have a narrative culture. Like, after it's all over, you sit around a campfire drinking a beer talking about the story and talking about your failure. And that's really what makes you a genuine part of the community, is you've been bucked off or you've been knocked out or you've been whatever.
Right.
And the cool thing is, like, what we're talking about has all of those elements in it. It has that, it's pushing you out of your comfort zone. There's a chance you're going to fall off. It is dangerous. I mean, people get seriously injured riding bulls, but there's definitely the narrative element too of going back later and telling the stories, And so that's very true. I mean, being involved in this, and that's why I think it's so important for people to get their children involved in things like this, is because it builds resilient people, which is very important.
And I had my boxing coach on here, we were talking about kids learning to box, and it wasn't to be like a big bully or a tough guy. You actually learned to be humbled and how to deal with problems in a different way, because once I knew I could whoop a guy, you know what I mean? Like, when he's barking at me, I figure out a different way to settle that down. I mean, it's kind of not, sort of the same thing, but... You know, I got my nose broke the first time I sparred this past time. And then as soon as I got healed up from that, I come back in, the guy cracked my ribs, but like there's an overcoming to that, and you get to share that with other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you win the fight. So it's awesome.
Or the buckle.
Yeah, or the buckle. Man, I got a trophy I was wanting to bring in here, but I'd like to get me a dang buckle. That'd be cool.
You got to earn it.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying now. I like winning things, you know. And but look, we're going to get ready to wrap this thing up. You got anything else that you wanted to bring up?
I can't. Other than this,
we're doing the headless horseman thing for the hayride. Yeah.
So, my neighbor who's helped us a lot over the years, even when I purchased my place back in the Army, Jen and Greg Calhoun this weekend out at Absolute Breeze are doing a haunted hayride, and so they asked us to do a station. So we're going to be the headless horseman. On our horses this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday out there helping them with that.
This weekend?
Yeah, and so they've asked organizations to set up stations, and then based on the people going through the hayride, they get to vote. And so whatever top three stations get to win some money. So good job. So yeah, if people hear this before this weekend,
The podcast will be out in a couple days, so you know.
So that'll still be going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I was actually playing golf this morning, and we rode through this little trail, and there was leaves everywhere, and I said something about the headless horseman. So I was thinking about it. I was like, that's from New York, matter of fact, because Sleepy Hollow or whatever. I watched that movie not so long ago. He was talking about upstate New York. Anyways, so that's relevant, I guess.
Yeah, and I would just encourage people, you know, if there's something out there, I don't know, Yellowstone's like the huge thing right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you've watched it and been like, hey, I want to come try this and see what it's about, you know, come out and ride with us. We're a really small facility, but we got good horses. We have all the tools there. If you want to get into rodeo, I strongly recommend it. I mentioned like the High School Rodeo Association before. They give out over $1 million a year in scholarships. And it is huge out west. And why I think this is something really neat for our community here is, as people, PCS, like the military child, right? Like, mm-hmm. And they're resilient. Military children are incredibly resilient. If they get into high school rodeo and they go PCS to another state, there's going to be a rodeo club there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they can meet new people. If they make it to the finals, they're going to have met people from Colorado, Texas, Oklahoma, and if you ever PCS out there, your kid's already got some friends waiting.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's a unique kind of club too.
And the other cool thing too, is that a lot of times people have this mindset that in order to learn this kind of stuff, you have to start out as a kid, and that's not true. I'm 51 years old, and I learned how to work cattle from horseback this summer.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
you can. And so that's the other thing is like, you're never too old to learn. So just come out and try it out. And the other thing is that we're very friendly, you know, and what I found from the first day that I showed up out there is, you know, you shake people's hand, hey, how you doing? You learn their first names and then you're friends. It's really easy to come in and become part of the group.
Yeah. And I like what you were saying about trying to get people up out of the barracks and stuff. And
yeah, that's one of the biggest things because a lot of the soldier suicides and stuff like that come from a lot of people from the barracks because they feel like they're stuck in there. They have nothing to do. They have, you know, they feel like they have nothing, some of them. There's always something to do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially up here, I would say, because whenever I first got here, I didn't think there was anything to do. I sat in my barracks room, didn't do anything, and I got to looking, and then I found this. I've been looking more. I found more stuff to do. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to do up here.
Yeah, and that's what I was freaked out when I first came here. I was like, man, what the heck am I going to do? It's going to be. I felt like wintertime was just going to be the end of all. You know what I mean? Like I got to stay inside. Are you doing anything inside this winter?
We will. We're working with a couple places. We have a lady, she fosters like Mustangs.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll probably over the course of the winter, if people are interested in that, they can go over there and start assisting her with gentling the Mustangs. we've got fillers out with a couple indoor arena facilities around here where we can take some of these guys who have been riding and get them out there so they can keep riding. Last year, we went down to Hoyt's. That's who I rode with back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Down there in Syracuse, so they have really nice reining horses. And so we had them on their horses. They're really good instructors. But, yeah, I mean, we're working on a few different things. It would be really neat to find a facility that we could try to do the roping over the winter.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I don't know about you, but when it gets to negative 15, I start hibernating. I mean, I'm already putting my hibernation fluff on.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. No, I mean, but still, it would be something cool to do in the if you found a big indoor. I'm picturing just like what I don't know, big rodeo indoors, and but the goat thing would be cool. I don't, it seems like all the big places are hockey rings in the wintertime, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a big thing up here. And like right about now, all the horse showing up here in New York and mm-hmm. rodeoing for competitive wise is shutting down.
Yeah.
Now you'll have practice pens. So this is a great time. If people are wanting to get interested, like every Sunday down near Naples, there's a couple downstate as well, that every Sunday they're bucking bulls all winter long in covered pens. Now it's not heated, you know, but and it's like you can get on a bull for $10-$15 a ride. It's the fuel, and which is why it's common in the rodeo industry to have hauling partners.
Mm-hmm.
And getting people linked up and go haul. But, yeah, there's tons of stuff. And really what Fort Drum Rodeo Equestrian Club is trying to do is pair people with mentors. So, like, Earl wants to start bull riding. So we're going to get him a mentor.
I was going to say, you're going to get on a bull?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to. As soon as I can, that's one of the things. That's one of the reasons I joined, because I know they do a clinic once a year. And that's something I really want to get into.
All right, guys, let's wrap this thing up.
All right.